6 weeks or so ago, when I was given this opportunity, it seemed like a very long time away. As Chandler and others have mentioned, it flew right by. But that's okay. I have prepared, but it always makes me a little nervous standing before you. It's not what I'm comfortable with, but that's okay. I need to grow in my talents. About 7 or 8 years ago, the last time I was volunteered by Brother Cletus to stand up here and teach in Bible class, I was standing in the back, and you could tell I was a little nervous. Probably my face was as red as my shirt. And Brother Kent Cromer came and gave me some advice and says, if you can make it through the first minute or so, you're okay. Sister Betty Kimbrough did one better, came and patted me on the hand, looked at me and said, just remember, you're going to do fine. We love you. So that was encouraging to me, and I needed that. So I'm remembering Miss Betty tonight and always appreciate her encouraging words. It's good to be with you. Good evening to my brethren. And again, welcome to our visitors. Hope you'll stay around and let us visit with you. And also be able to come back and be with us any chance that you get. I'd like to say my appreciation to the elders for allowing the summer series to continue. It's always great to watch the men get up here and speak. So I'd like to appreciate the elders, say my appreciation to the elders for allowing it to continue this year. I'd like to say thank you to Joey for his efforts. I know it takes a lot for him to put material together and get volunteers. For all those that are involved behind the scenes, Jay and Randy and Adam and others, if I left you out, I apologize. for doing the recordings and also posting on the website. We have a great website. I'd like to say to the men who've done the lessons this year so far, I appreciate you. I appreciate the effort that you have put forth. I know what it takes to spend time in God's Word and put a lesson together, maybe when it's not something that you're real comfortable with. They're great lessons. If you haven't had a chance to listen to all of them, again, they are on the website. They are tools for you. It's always encouraging. I have went back and listened to all the lessons at least twice. On most of them, some of them a couple times more. But I want to mention that we have a website with all these lessons, and these lessons are there for to help you grow, to help us grow. And I hope you guys are taking advantage of it. They're also great to send to your family, to your friends as icebreakers. If you might have struggles in your life to reach out and teach somebody the gospel, to start a conversation, send them a link and let them listen to it and then talk to them afterwards. It's been my view when I've sent it to family and friends that it's usually positive. Usually there's not a lot of argument from it. And again, they're going to hear God's word. So also I'd like to exhort and encourage the men. If you haven't done a lesson, if you've considered it and just haven't done one, haven't put forth, let folks know that you're ready, consider doing that for next year. So tonight's lesson, we're continuing with our Christians Wake Up lesson. Tonight is Pursuing Spiritual Maturity, Part 1. This is a hard lesson because I'm having to make sure I don't step into Brent's lane, right? But I will try not to. But no promises. I will bleed over, but it's okay. We're friends. We play golf, and I let him win all the time. This lesson tonight has been good for me. As a Christian, it's helped me look at my life, as well as all these lessons, right? It's always about looking inside, looking internal, and taking a view of our lives and where we are at this point. This lesson is intended for me, but I hope we all can gain something from it. I have to ask myself the questions. Am I growing spiritually? Am I handling God's word correctly? 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourselves approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of God. So what do you think about when I say pursuing spiritual maturity? Pursuing spiritual maturity. Pursuit, I'm going to define what pursuit means. An effort to secure or attain a quest. Any occupation, a pastime in which a person is engaged regularly. To pursue, to follow in order to overtake. To capture, to kill, etc. To chase, to strive, to gain, to seek, to attain or accomplish, to carry on or continue a method, plan, or a course of action, and to practice. These are the definitions of pursue and pursuit. So pursuing spiritual maturity, what I think of, like most guys, when I think of pursuit, I think of a car chase. I grew up watching the Dukes of Hazzard. There was always a car chase. For those young folks, don't look up the show. It's not that good. But there was always a car chase. I think about police chases and what our law enforcement does to capture criminals, and they're chasing after someone. That helps me put it in perspective. When you are pursuing spiritual maturity, you're chasing after. I think about a policeman chasing after someone. They won't stop till they catch their target. They use every tool available to them. They use their dispatch. They use their helicopters, whatever it takes to catch the person. And they may be trying to catch them to punish them for their actions or to save them. So I appreciate that analogy for me. It helps me to focus. Likewise, we are to chase after spiritual maturity, chasing after the knowledge of God and the application of the principles within the Word. 2 Peter 3:18, we are commanded, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So hopefully, as we're Christians in this life, we're not just walking through haphazardly. We have a plan. The walk of a Christian must be purposeful. We do not start building in our lives. We don't go out and just start building and hope things. Well, sometimes I do that just because that's the way I do things. But overall, we plan things. We build things in a project way. We use common sense in our approach. We should use the same in our walk. So growing up, so how do we know we're maturing in Christ? We'll kind of go off in that in just a moment. So there's a lot of kids here. I love watching all the kids outside and watching them grow. It's a beautiful thing. My three kids, they're just about grown. Savannah's 17, but I can still remember all my kids when they were little. And I missed that, actually, but because I had control. But anyway, but I love all my kids. I remember them, all of them helping me at different times. In the garage, helping me with cars. Savannah's always she was always very helpful, always climbing up under things. If I'm working on the plumbing or working in the garage, organizing something, she was always helping me. But maybe you heard your child or remember saying this. Mom or dad, look at what I can do. Look how big I am. Everybody wants to grow up. It's natural for us to want to grow up. My daughter would say, yuck, daddy, because she couldn't say her L's, so it was yuck. So every once in a while I'll throw that in there to her. But we all want to get bigger. We all want to grow up. It's part of life. There's different stages, of course, but we're going to emulate what surround us and what they're doing. Ephesians 4, 13 through 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. Colossians 1:28. The Apostle Paul wrote that the goal of his ministry was to help every Christian mature in Christ. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We need to wake up and have a desire, brethren, to grow into the fullness of Christ. Maturing physically, intellectually, and emotionally takes time. We all understand this. We don't need a degree in medicine or psychology to understand that each person starts out as a baby and grows up, and there's different phases as we move along. Their understanding, I'm sure we could all say we'd like to know what we know now, wish we knew then, right? We'd do things a lot differently, but that's part of the maturing process. No one is born, just as no one is physically born full grown, no one is born spiritually full grown. Growing physically will happen normally, unless there's some physical problem, of course, or if an accident happens. But if you get to live, as you go through life, you will age. Age will kick in. It's not something you have to do. It's not a choice. But spiritual growth is a choice. It's not something that you can gain just by downloading something or having something poured into you. It's a choice you have to make on your own, I have to make on my own to grow. We're commanded in Scripture, throughout Scripture, to grow. In Hebrews 5:11 through 14, concerning him we have much to say. I always like to leave 11 in here, just because it seems to be what happens to us sometimes. Concerning him we have much to say. It is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. You're not listening, right? You're not listening to me. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. If you'll remember back, one of our definitions of pursuit was to practice. The book talks about the consequences of immaturity. There are consequences. The problems in Corinth, the book talks about the problems in Corinth and reference the childish actions and the immaturity of the Christians there. It's a good book to read so that we learn what not to do, and we learn from our scriptures. The childish behavior caused lots of problems in the church. How they treated each other, the divisions, the pride, the jealousy, all those were childish behaviors. The Apostle Paul rebuked them for being carnal in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. He said it was not his fault. He had fed them with milk, trying to help them mature properly, but it wasn't working. He had to write two letters to them, trying to get them back on the right track, right growth track, the track to spiritual maturity. I wasn't going to go through each one of those, but it goes back through childish behaviors, right? We all understand when for parents, we understand when our kids are growing up, they're not behaving the way they should. And if they get to a point and they're 20, they're 25, and they're still acting and pitching fits or whatever, we know that they're not growing up and having the behaviors that they should. But that's consequences. They're consequences of spiritual immaturity, right? The church won't grow. Families won't grow. Our interactions with each other, our families will suffer. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. If you go into society, if you go into a Walmart, if you go into a restaurant, if you are out anywhere, you will see a whole society that has lost their mind, I think, sometimes. There's a lot of kids who need a whooping, and that's just my way of saying it. Parents want to be friends with their kids. Parents want to just let the kids have their way, and they're not teaching the kids the way they should, and probably they weren't taught. And it's a whole society, and it's happening. When Savannah was little, I always liked to watch the show Cops. And I would watch it. She would come in there, and she'd say, "I want to watch it with you." I'd say, "I don't want you watching Cops." There's a lot of bad things on there. And she'd say, "Well, I can learn what not to do." And so, anyway, she was always funny. But it's amazing to me, on that show, you see folks that treat their parents bad, the kids treating their children bad, their spouses not providing for their children, drugs, alcohol, all those things. You know, we kind of laugh at it sometimes because maybe we're shocked or we're amazed at it. But in the grand scheme of things, it saddens me. There are so many people that are lost in the world, and I hope as Christians we're not, you know, our conscience is not seared. People need the gospel, and if they need the gospel, then we need to grow in our knowledge so that we can answer those for their problems and help them any way we can. We need to build ourselves up, build our families up, so that as we go out into the world, we can help change these. Society comes from families, and when our families are broken down like they have been for the last 30, 40, 50 years, we get what we have, and it's hard on our children as they grow. Every issue in life, every single one of them, can be addressed by stronger faith and knowledge in God's Word. Life is hard. Won't argue with anybody. There are challenges. But God promises us that He will not give us more than we can handle. But we got to be faithful to Him. We can't just sit back and expect things to happen. We've got to get busy. We're promised that God will be there for us and provide a way of escape if we're obedient. So, do we want to grow? That's the question. Do we want in this life to grow, or are we comfortable where we are today? I can't ask that for you. You have to answer that for you. I'm talking to me. Am I comfortable? Am I comfortable with my status? And the answer should always be no. I should always strive to grow in my knowledge. We need to put on Christ, not just 4 hours a week, but put Christ on and never take Him off. Galatians 3:27, "For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come." 1 year ago, we had a gospel meeting with Jerry Martin. If you didn't get a chance to hear his lessons, go back and, again, a plug to the website. Listen to the lesson. Great lessons, very practical. One that stuck with me was his encouragement to find 17 hours. Everybody remember that? Something 17 hours? Okay. So 17 hours, there's 168 hours in a week, to find 10% of that time, so roughly 17 hours, and dedicate that to service of the Lord. I can't say that I've found 17 hours every single week, but I've made great strides. And, you know, 4 hours a week coming here and listening to the great lessons that we have, and I know they're all scriptural and they're there for our edification. But that's not going to do it. We have to make time. Growing spiritual will not happen by casually hearing. It won't just pour into our ears and say, "Oh, well, now we know." We need to make that time, brethren, not just reading, but studying and understanding where we are, to dig deeper and grow in our wisdom. The world needs light, and I don't know if you guys are, I'm a news junkie. I like to catch up on my news. And it, again, just like the cop show, it's a very scary world out there. And the world needs Christ. If we preach to more people, if we reach out to folks, and if the peace that will be had through Christ. But we have to care about the people that are lost. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. So how do we know if we're growing? How do we know if we're growing spiritually? Right? It's a hard thing to say. We cannot say, well, Roanoke's fixing to build a church building, and because we have, you know, more people than we can put in the seats, that we as a congregation are growing spiritually. We can't say that. There's a lot of things that we can't say. You can't do it based on what appearances are. Growing spiritually is a heart change, right? It's a knowledge change. It's an application of the Word. So I want to ask you tonight, as checks, things that I would use to check me, see if you can answer some of these questions. See if you can give a defense, as we read in 2 Timothy 4:2, about being ready to give, in 1 Peter 3:15, ready to make a defense to everyone who asks. You'll be challenged, you young folks, as you go out into the world. When you hit college, you will have people who are very anti-God. So we need to gird ourselves up. We need to gird our children up as they go into the work world. We also, as Christians, as adults, we need to gird ourselves up as well in the knowledge and bury the knowledge in our hearts. So ask yourself, can you answer these questions? What if somebody asks you, why do you go to worship on Sunday and every Sunday? Could you answer that question? Why do we go on Wednesday? Where is that defined in the Bible? Why do you take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? What is wrong with instrumental music? Could you find, I know we can use our search tools and all that, but can you give a defense for the hope that is in you? Let's get a little harder. Could you teach somebody the gospel? Could you sit down with someone tonight if they ask you, I want to know about God? Now, obviously we can reach out to somebody and pull our family in and others to help us in that effort because we want to save lost souls. But I need to grow in my knowledge so that when somebody asks me, I know where to go. I know how the Bible's arranged. I know exactly where to go in the book of Acts and can show them examples, what the apostles were doing and what have you. Examples of conversions and what the Bible teaches. Could you give a hope? Can you give the answer for the hope that is in you? To the men, are you preparing yourself to be a deacon or an elder in the church one day? And that goes to you young folks. Mr. Colton over here just obeyed the gospel. We're very proud of you for that. But that's a question that no one asked me when I became a Christian. I didn't grow up in the church. So I have to look at, so when I'm gauging me, I have to say, okay, where am I at today? 29 years ago, I started going to church with Kim, and only to see her. I wasn't going for the right reason. I was just going to hang out with her because she was sweet. And but I would go, and eventually some of the men at the congregation pulled me aside and spoke with me, and I appreciated them. So I became a Christian. So, but I still wasn't a strong Christian. When I got to Texas, there were times on a Wednesday night when I would show up. I'd come home from, my wife got a job out here, and so she was making all the money. So I went back to school, and I would get out of school and work. I'd come home, and there were times when I didn't want to go on a Wednesday night. I'd come home tired. I'd make excuses. Now, I was a Christian at the time, but I wasn't strong about it. And not all the time, but, you know, there were times I'd make excuses. And my sweet wife over here that I mentioned earlier, she wasn't mean about anything. She just nudged me along and said, come on, baby, let's go. You know, go with me. You know you'll hear something good. And I appreciated that in a loving way, reaching out to me and trying to provide that example. And now, there were times when she went alone. I won't say it worked every time. But over time, it and every time I would go on a Wednesday night, they were talking right to me with a lesson right to me. I'm like, were you looking at me all week? What's wrong with y'all? But it was a lesson to me, and it helped me. And I grew so much. And anyway, now I'm through the years, I became a father. And when you are a parent, your kids are watching you and what you do and how you act and how you handle God's word, how you handle the assembly. If you neglect it, they'll follow in your line. If you put God first in your life, then they'll have an example to go to. So I would encourage you. Kim knows at this point, 29 years later, that I'm not missing unless I'm sick or I got to work. Because I know my kids are there, and they'll use every excuse. Well, you didn't go. Well, you know, so you have to be careful in all that. And being here also, it's an encourage to us, and it's an encourage to brethren. can't be an encouragement if you're not here. We need to grow, brethren, so that we're worthy of the sacrifice of Christ. We are commanded to grow. The world is full of lost souls. I need to be able and willing to seek and save the lost. Last year, I went to PTP with Stephen and Heather and Joey and Pam, and it's a time where you go up to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and it's a week of Bible lessons, preaching and teaching for a whole week, and it's fantastic. So I would give a plug to that. But there was a guy there that I went to a couple of his lessons. And again, there's lessons from morning till night. And it was real encouraging to me, but there was a guy, Rob Whitaker. Okay. I always want to say his a different name, but anyway, really good guy, really good speaker. He talked about how much you care, right? How much you care. No one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And he talked about, you know, how he converted this family or how he converted, you know, one of his son's friends or the family's stuff. And he walked through it. And at first you're kind of going, well, you know, he's talking about, you know, sounds like he's patting himself on the back or whatever, but he wasn't. He's showing that we need to be focused on souls and be out there. And I appreciated him so much using the talents that he's been given. So I hope that if you haven't listened to any of those lessons, I know Stephen posted it out there that he could post those lessons. They're real encouraging. And if you get a chance to go to PDP, obviously I'd encourage that too. But brethren, we want to continue chasing spiritual maturity. I need to, on a daily basis, die to self, put on Christ. Make sure, use whatever tools we have available to us to grow. In a moment, we're going to have the invitation. I'm going to ask you to go ahead and grab your songbooks, if you would. And the reason I'm doing that is just it's just a pet peeve of mine. When we start hearing the invitation, we start hearing, hey, we're at the end, or the final. And the invitation's offered every time. Every time we hear in Sundays and Wednesdays. But sometimes we're going through the motions. And, you know, it's a heart issue. You know, wanting to be spiritually minded, it's a heart issue. You have to, as I said before, you have to choose to be spiritually minded. We have to put on Christ every day. We have to gird ourselves up against this world. And what happens is we send, when the invitation starts, we are starting to pack up and go. Are you affecting somebody? If somebody's on that edge and they're thinking about obeying the gospel, are you distracting them? That's just my encouragement to you, to be mindful of that. As far as the invitation goes, if you are a Christian and there's some struggles that you've had and you need to make it known in a public way and seek forgiveness, if you need the prayers, need to come and just ask for prayers from your brethren, the invitation is for you. But if you're not a Christian and you know what needs to be done, we're not guaranteed another day. We're not guaranteed another moment. Something could happen to us on the way home, or the Lord could come back. But don't let this time pass you. If you have a need, come while we stand and sing.